This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, Lucha Lushes, and we are back with a very special episode of Get to Know the PTBN PWO Wrestling with Words edition, becoming a semi-common thing here, as we've got Sam. I don't even know if you put your last name out there, but Sam from We Don't Know Wrestling. Sam, how are you doing today?
I'm doing super duper. I've been waiting to be on this show for a while now.
Yes, it's been tough to put it together. Before we even start, I think I should just kind of address an unpleasant situation that some people may not even know about. And the ones that do are probably going to be pretty bummed. I did record a really awesome interview with Carrie Offal, or I attempted to record a really awesome interview with Carrie Offal, with also Hugh Little from Talking Sheet as my guest co-host. It was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. We all just chopped it up and talked about a lot of stuff. There was an amazing love fest for Tyler Bateman that just happened in the middle of it as me and Carrie Offal just continuously went off on how great he is. In general, talking about the SoCal wrestling scene, which was really cool to hear Carrie Offal be so knowledgeable on the SoCal scene as a guy who's in Tennessee, who's never been out here to wrestle, at least. So that was great. Just super nice guy. Lots of fun. Deserves the plug for his podcast, Dog Days, out there. But unfortunately, I went to check my recording, and it only recorded my audio, which is an issue that we had had once before. I have since remedied that by switching to a new audio recording program that will not be giving me as much issues, I guess. It kind of sucks because the audio quality on the new program seems to be not as good. And the other program was giving me really pristine, nice audio when it worked, but it was giving me nothing when it didn't. So it's kind of not a fair trade-off, especially not for Hugh and for Carrie, who, you know, gave me that hour of their time to talk about everything. But then luckily, almost fortuitously, something that we've been trying to put together for a while came together, and we actually had a chance to get down here with Sam. So it's kind of like, I'm not saying Sam is like a consolation prize. I think some people could see it that way. He's the replacement for Carrie. That's not what it
is. I'm a good third place.
Yes. Sam was meant to be on the show anyways, and it just kind of worked out where he happened to be here in lieu of, not in replacement of, the Carrie Offal interview. So we got Sam here today, and I've also got my regular full-time co-host, Adrian. Adrian, how are you doing today?
Good, and just like Sam, I've also been trying to get on this show for a while, so we're in the same boat.
Yes, that is true. But you're still technically not here, even though you're actually on the call. You're not going to be in the game, as they say.
Yeah.
So let's start out, I guess, Sam. I'm supposed to start out every interview with this, but I think I already know the answer. Are you now, or have you ever been a member of the PWO board?
Yes. Yes, I have. Yes, I am.
Okay. And your username over on the PTBN board is what exactly?
I think it's Concrete 1992.
Yes, same as your Twitter.
Same as my Twitter. I like to keep it somewhat consistent.
It's always funny when people use their birth year and their user, because I do the same thing, but with like stuff I need to log into, like my to pay my internet bill and stuff. For some reason, I just chose the year of my birth, and it's like makes sense because you always remember it, you know?
Yeah.
Try to. I have forgotten mine before. I'm not gonna lie.
I think I'm too young for that. So
yeah, you only got a few years.
Give it 10 years, then it'll all slip.
But I also like when you see the ones where they put the how old they are at the time, and I'm kind of like, how short-sighted are you that like you live in the moment so much that you forget that the next year it's going to be different?
Yeah.
Like when people put like 21 and you're like, you know, next year you're not going to be that anymore. Or maybe they're just like, fuck it. I'm going to be done with this board. I'm not going to use this.
No, I like it. It timestamps it. So you know exactly when you signed up, exactly when you are like, oh, I signed up for this board when I was 19. I'm great. I'm 37 now. Life has changed.
Where has the time gone? And where has my life gone? This is not good. Okay, so you're over there. What's the concrete? I mean, we got the 1992, but what's the kind of significance of the concrete?
So that was my nickname when I played football in high school. Okay. So I just kind of ran with that since I wanted something that I would remember twofold. So I was like, okay, I'll just pick concrete. That's a good nickname. That sticks well. Then I was like, oh, concrete's taken. well, what do we got? So threw the year on there, and very original tactic I went about there.
Yeah. So Concrete was the nickname in football, which is interesting that you even played football. I would not to say I wouldn't expect that, because I know you a little bit more outside of the realm of the podcasting and on the internet, but your personality, especially on Just On We Don't Know Wrestling, you don't come across like a sports guy, if I'm perfectly honest. So
I'm not coordinated.
So no, I'm saying
I couldn't play any sports that involve like throwing a little ball around or pass around puck or involve any sort of balance, because I can't stand on my 2 feet very well, let alone adding any other degree of difficulty. But being a lineman in football, I could just go take 2 steps and that was it.
And it worked out for you pretty well.
Well, it worked out. I'm not sure if really well would be the word I would use. But
what does for someone who doesn't know, that being me, what does a lineman do exactly in football?
So essentially, they're people that block for the quarterbacks and running backs, the people that do all the cool stuff. That
you have
score
to be,
the points.
Do you have to be pretty big for that? Like, how big do you have to be for that? I imagine you need a lot of strength to block people, right?
Yeah, I guess so. not exactly in central New York, where you're playing in a small school, like when you're graduating class with like 100 people. Mm. So you're not exactly playing against these big, bad dudes. They might be 200 pounds, they might be 250 or something around there, but nothing massive.
Right, right.
So I was like 180, 5'3", just a little guy running around trying to hit people.
Interesting. So,
I mean, you got the nickname Concrete for a reason. Is that because you're hard-headed? Or
yes, a little bit of that. I was a freshman, and I was going into seniors, and they're like, the lineman coach was always like, you sack of concrete, you. And that's where it came from. It just ran with it for the next 4 years.
The way that you quote your football coach, he sounds a lot more precocious than my football coaches ever did. He sounds more like a lighthearted, fun-loving guy.
He is. He was. you got kindly. I loved him. I loved him. He looked like he wore always a purple poncho when it started raining, and he looked like a giant blueberry. It was hilarious.
See, it sounds like you got away with it easy. My line coach was kind of a dick with an alcohol problem. So
isn't that every high school football coach?
You're probably playing at a school that cared more, though.
Yes, that's for sure.
So
Tim, I didn't know you played football in high school. I thought you just did wrestling.
Yeah, no, I did. I played football more than I even did wrestling.
Really?
Yeah. Totally. Football was it sounds a lot different for us, but I also played on the line. What position did you play, Sam?
I played center.
Oh, you were center?
Yeah. Yeah, so I was right in the thick of things.
So you snapped.
Exactly. We didn't do a whole lot of shotgun, which was beautiful, so I didn't even need to worry about tossing the ball at all. Even minimally.
We had we actually had a dedicated long snapper. So, I mean, if you guys could have had that, then you would have been just money.
Golden.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to worry about.
All right, now I have to ask you, what does a snapper do? What does that mean exactly? Because I'm confused.
So I take the ball from the ground, give it to the quarterback between my legs, and then they take it all from there.
Oh, okay. So you're more like a snatcher, really. They should just call it a snatcher position, because it sounds like you're just snatching the ball.
Okay, I guess.
Sounds like, I mean, the quarterback's snatching it from him. I don't think it would go. He'd be more of the snatchee.
So it goes from snap to snatch.
I'm doing like a
snatch.
Snapping motion.
Okay, gotcha. And that does make sense when you put
snapping
it that way.
Snapping my arms back.
See, yeah. That ball from back. Not knowing anything about wrestling, we go to me not knowing anything about football. So
fantastic. So Sam, do you still enjoy watching football?
Occasionally, I kind of fell off the football wagon and just like, okay, I'm gonna watch wrestling with my Sundays instead, because I'm a New York Giants fan, and I'm never gonna be a big Eli fan regardless. So,
okay,
I don't know why he brought us Super Bowls, and I just find him to be the most ugly looking guy and boring character on the face of the planet.
Which is interesting because his older brother is looked at as being really charismatic for a football player.
Exactly.
He got all
Peyton's
the charisma.
Got it.
Yeah, I hear enough about that living in Denver because he's like a hero here, Peyton Manning. That's what you guys are talking about, right? Just to make sure.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine at this point.
That's the guy.
That's the guy. It's funny because I hear he, and this is just a weird side fact, that he bought a bunch of like Five Guys franchises. So he's just always making money because he owns all these franchises of like Five Guys, and I think he owns like a couple of Pizza Huts or something, which is a pretty good business tactic. Like if I had millions of dollars, like I would just do the same thing because it's like, you know, you can always fall back on that in case you blow all your money on hookers and blow or something like that. I don't know what they spend it on, obviously.
Just turn lots of money into more money.
Exactly.
Great tactic.
Yeah.
Food industry is good. You're right. You can make money off of it for sure. But yeah. So much getting your hands dirty, I feel like, being the owner of franchises. Too much work. I would just be putting your money into, like, I guess more nebulous things.
He's actually, like, showing up to these franchises he owns and actually doing any work, do you? I mean.
Probably not.
He can just put his name on some papers and say, hey, this is the Five Guys Peyton owns.
Yeah,
I'm going to go there.
People are always going to buy fast food. So that's the thing. Is like, people are never going to stop buying fast food, you know? So it's like, you're pretty much set for life. I think. I could be
but
wrong.
But you want to own the building? Like, does he own the buildings?
Oh, that I don't know.
Then people could raise the rent on you. And
yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm saying. There's less kind of, I guess, wheels moving and parts to it if you just invest in things and put your money into more.
Yeah, listen, I'm no more a business major than I am an audio engineer, so I can't.
This is true.
Well, I have a marketing degree, so let me tell you a few things.
Do you think Peyton Manning is doing well with his money, Sam? Do you think that's smart?
I think he's doing wonderfully. He's made some practical moves.
Okay. And I mean, he is Peyton Manning, so he can always, if for some reason he was hurting for cash, he could always just do a couple like spots here and there on TV endorsements or whatever. And I think he'd be fine. Does he even have, I would assume he has some kind of commentating gig somewhere. Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Can someone check on Peyton Manning, please? Make sure that he's all right.
He's disappeared. He just like, ran off into the sunset. And
you know how they had the "Is Abe Vigoda still alive" website? We're gonna have the "Is Peyton Manning still alive" website. Make sure.
It's like, where is it? Not even if he's alive. Just what's he up to?
Oh, just what's he? What's going on in his life? Gotcha. Yeah,
he's one of our most important footballsmen.
Is he a national footballsman? I like that. Is he a national treasure, Tim? Is that what you, would you go as far as saying that?
I would say so. Do you know how many Five Guys franchises he has? Are we talking 15 guys, 20 guys, 25 guys? Where are we at?
That's
20
a great
guys
question.
Four stores?
That's a great question.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was doing the math correctly.
Are we talking about a 30 guys situation for Peyton Manning?
That's
that
a lot
would be
of guys.
Impressive. Yeah,
that is a lot of guys.
All right, Sam. So enough of this bullshit. let's actually talk about you. So we're in high school. We're playing football. You born and raised mid-state New York, correct?
Yep, Central New York.
Okay, Central. That's how you guys say it there. That makes more sense.
Central, downstate, upstate.
Yeah, I've heard upstate. I was going to ask that next, so thank you for downstate. You guys go instead of the up, I guess down, up and down makes sense. Not like here in California, we do the NorCal and SoCal. And one thing that I think, if you don't think about it when it comes to geography, and most Americans don't, Southern California is fucking tiny compared to what's considered Northern California.
You think that's true, though? Well, like,
if you
where's
look at
the,
it on a map,
where do you draw the line, though? Where's the northernmost part?
Sacramento is supposed to be the cutoff, and if you look at where Sacramento is, it's like not in the middle of the state. It's surprisingly low. Like, Northern California is huge.
Yeah, but I don't think that's where you draw the line. I'm pretty sure you have considered Central California, which is like Bakersfield and shit. Like, that's Central.
Well, now you're even just divvying up SoCal. You're not even helping the cause here, buddy.
Yeah, but being from California myself, I know these things. It's like there's a Southern California, there's a Central, and there's a Northern. Nobody wants to live in the Central part, because unless it's on the coast. then you have
migrant workers.
Right. And then I always thought the Southern part kind of ends where Bakersfield starts, and then that's from there and up you have, well, I don't really know. That's just how
I always
saw it in my
head. You're just making Southern California smaller with your argument here.
Yeah.
You're not helping. You're not helping.
It's fitting because there's people who want to break it up into three pieces. So I guess, you know, it's not too out of bounds of me to say that, considering.
Like irregular Kit Kat bar. Break it into three pieces.
Exactly.
so from there, you're playing, like I said, you're playing football in high school. What else is young Sam doing in high school? I got to get the full flavor of Sam. What were your hobbies other than football?
God, the hobbies really haven't changed a whole lot. I watched horror movies. I played video games. I watched wrestling.
Nice.
And then I did that for up to here. So that was fun.
And you went
later.
You went to a college somewhere in Central State, New York as well? Or where did you go to get your marketing degree?
Yes, I stayed in the area. I went to community college for a couple of years. Then I went to Binghamton University for another 2 years, got my degree. And then I floated around for a little bit, like 6 months, then got a job in the area. So everything has turned out well. Yeah.
Lots of marketing gigs in Central State, New York, or was that kind of tough to find something local there?
Kind of tough to find stuff that is decently paying and in this area. Unless you want to move a whole bit, then you're probably not going to find anything. And if you do, it probably is not going to be exactly what you're looking for, or really even parallel, adjacent. So I got real lucky and lucked out with a solid gig in the community. So
nice. And so there was no interest to, say, go to New York City?
Or... I do not like the city. The city is a bad place to be, in my opinion.
Why is that? Just out of curiosity.
For me, personally, because I don't like the whole hustle and bustle. I don't like taking public transportation. I like to have my own car and just be able to listen to my own stuff. Be by myself. That's where I decompress after a long day of work or get ready for the day entering work. So I like to be able to not be all up in the city, even though it is nice to be able to walk places, I guess.
Yeah.
So
where you live now, is it more suburban or more rural, or how would you describe it?
More suburban. Like Binghamton would be a very small city probably in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah.
There's a little tiny city center, but there's nothing massive here or a whole lot to do. So it's about as small a city as you can get, which suits me well.
Do you guys have a Quiznos?
I don't think we have a Quiznos.
Do you guys have a Papa John's?
We got Papa John's. We got Jimmy John's.
I was going to say, because I was actually wrong. Peyton Manning doesn't own Five Guys. He owns 30 Papa John's franchises here in Denver. So
that makes more sense. He was on the Papa John's commercials.
That makes a lot more sense.
It makes a lot
more sense. Get it together. Come on.
I know.
You're feeding us bad info here, making us look dumb.
I do something that most of the mainstream media doesn't do, which is actually fact check myself in real time. So thank you for that. You're welcome for that.
Now Tim's Five Guys joke just makes no sense. No one's going to care about it.
We cut that out.
It was funny in the moment.
Well, now everyone's going to be like, wow, Tim was on something.
Way off. Did Papa John's have some kind of unpleasantness with not being super PC about something recently? Is that in the news?
I vaguely remember him having one or two controversial tweets, but that's not even the worst thing he's done. The worst thing he's done is where he made these really bad promotional videos where, like, a camera crew comes to his house and, like, he's hanging out with his son, and his son is like
naked with his kid.
No, his son's like, "Oh, I'm just ordering a Papa John's on the new Papa John's website, Dad." Oh, cool. And then, like, the doorbell rings a minute later, and there's a Papa John's delivery guy, like an actual delivery guy who doesn't know how to be on camera because he's just like all awkward and shit. And Papa John's like, "Well, thanks for that. See, this is how great the new website works. Here's a dollar tip. I'll see you later." And it's like so fucking terrible. That's the worst thing he's done, in my opinion. I don't know about the other stuff.
I feel like the other thing that he said had something to do with gay people, like something bad about gay people. So I feel like a bad instructional video isn't the same as the other thing.
For me, it is, Tim. For me, it is. But you're probably right. I think he's more conservative leaning. I think he's got a little bit of...
Or, you know what? I think he was in on that whole businesses shouldn't have to pay for abortions thing. It might have been that, too. But
and I think he was also...
Now, after you with your wild made-up Five Guys thing, I'm just making crazy accusations to Papa John. So maybe we should just get off this subject.
Well, his pizza is terrible, so he deserves any accusation he gets. Yes.
So Binghamton has how many Papa John's?
One singular Papa John's. So.
One Papa.
Not enough to
to help expand.
Make Peyton Manning feel good.
Yeah, he's going to expand his empire into Binghamton, I think, and open a couple more. So what's your commute like? Do you actually work in Binghamton?
I work in Binghamton, downtown. So it's like a 5-minute drive. So that's always good.
And go ahead.
Yeah. No. You go, Tim. You go.
Oh, thanks. I mean, you know, you're the guest. I feel bad for interrupting. It was an accident.
I'll just ramble anyway, and it won't make any sense. So I'll just let you help me out here before I make a fool of myself.
We do enough of that on our own. Don't worry.
I've heard a little from talking with you more in private about kind of what you do. And I know that you actually work somewhat within the podcast game on the, like, back end of it with the marketing. What exactly do you do, or what the company that you work with do exactly?
So I'm assuming people that are listening to this listen to more podcasts, and those podcasts have advertisers on it, whether it be a Blue Apron, an Audible, or Dollar Shave Club, or anything like that.
Funny you didn't mention HelloFresh.
See, that's interesting. So a podcast getting touch with a group that will help them sell spots in their shows, so they don't really have to do anything after that point. They can just be like, hey, we need some help, we want some money, but we don't really know how to get in contact with these people. Can you help us out? So essentially our job is to get in touch with them and buy ad space in these podcasts for our clients.
Okay, so are you guys putting together the marketing campaigns at all, or just really kind of putting together the relationships?
So a little bit of column A, a little column B, because you have to tailor these plans, these podcasts that you want to put in front of your clients, to whatever sort of business they're in, who they want to target. So you want to get the right podcast in front of them, because there's a whole bunch of them. Then there's the YouTube space, which we touched as well, so we want to get in that. And it's a lot of just, hey, we have the relationships already. You don't need to go out and seek them. Let us do it for you, and we'll get you the most bang for your buck.
All right. I mean, that's always something that's been kind of interesting to me. And so do you guys have to deal in, as we were just wildly talking about lately with false accusations, possibly. Do you have to deal with that, like the politics of not only the podcasts, but also the companies that you're working with pretty regularly? Is that like an important thought when it comes to putting together these packages for your clients?
Can you rephrase that question? Because I don't know if I 100% get it. So I want to make sure, like, I answer it correctly.
Let's say that you had Hobby Lobby coming to you and they're asking for some podcasts that they could advertise on. Do you worry about, you know, giving them shows that have maybe a more leftist or feminist leaning kind of topics or conversations on the shows?
See, I don't think we've ever ran into that kind of issue. Just typically because the people that come to us, typically we actually just aim for nothing that's too left, nothing that's too right. We don't want any biased political coverage or whatever you want to consider that, just because we don't want our clients to have any sort of connection either direction. Okay. So we try to not muddy the water with that at all and say, hey, other people will get involved in this. We'd like to stay away from it if at all possible.
That's probably a smart protocol in general, but in lieu of recent political events, I'm hearing a lot of people openly saying that with the political climate as it is, that that's going to become less and less of an option for corporations to kind of, you know, if corporations are considered people, then they're also going to have to kind of outwardly talk about what they support and what they don't support. And politics are going to start to, like, integrate the entire game. Is your guys' plan to kind of stick with this neutral ground, or is there any conversations about possibly tailoring stuff that way?
No, we're going to stay the neutral ground. And if they want to do it at a higher level, sure. That doesn't really affect us where we're at in our space.
Okay. And so you don't think that if a company came to you and said that, hey, we're interested in supporting shows that have a certain leaning, you guys wouldn't go out of your way to put that together for them.
Would we? Probably. But at the same time, our connections probably wouldn't lie in those spheres.
Okay. Interesting. So you don't have connections with podcasts. I mean, obviously a lot of, well, for me, from what I listen to, obviously right-leaning podcasts have less of a concern, it seems. And even some libertarian podcasts that I listen to feel like they're put together entirely just to be advertisements and less about content, which is unfortunate because sometimes I do like to hear, you know, dissenting opinions. But a lot of the left-leaning podcasts that I listen to seem to take a very, like, interesting stance on the concept of advertising in general. So it does kind of make sense that they wouldn't then involve themselves with a marketing company because they wouldn't, you know, they see it as, well, if I'm taking money from this company, then I'm beholden to them, and I have to tailor my content to fit what they like, and they don't like that idea. So I could definitely see where, like, the political space and marketing doesn't necessarily come together. I mean, I think right-leaning people are a little bit more open to marketing and or even embrace it and seem to do well with it. So that's something that you could see, but it's probably best to just stay neutral in general.
Many other factors already in play that we don't want to add in, like, another layer.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, it's already hard enough probably thinking about what you're marketing and to what demographic.
And then checking a little bit in on these shows' content. We have to go in and listen to these shows just to make sure that what we're getting is what we really, really want. And make sure that these hosts are – there's nothing that's following these hosts around or anything like that, you know?
Gotcha. I would love – like – is there any kind of interesting or even like an exceptionally difficult advertiser that you had to put a package together for that you can think of or would even want to talk about? Like, I mean, is there something where it's like there's just no podcast that reaches the demographic that's into whatever thing? Because I remember early on podcasts were like sponsored by, was it Adam and Eve? Like that sex shop is like pretty much the primary podcast sponsor. Has there ever been any sponsors where you're kind of like, God, how do you fit in this market? And it was like really tough to put together that way, you think?
I'm going to give a more of a general answer because I don't really want to get into like specifics just for my own sake or the company's sake. But just like in general, hygiene products. those can be a little bit more difficult to narrow down, like, who is buying these through podcasts? That's the trip. Like, if you're a store, I get who's buying it. But when you're, it's like a real sort of broad yet narrow focus. I don't know. But those are the packages that seem to have a little extra legwork.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense because it almost sounds bad when you say it because it sounds like you're saying that people who listen to podcasts don't wash themselves. But it's not that. It's like what podcast is designed to fit a demographic of like people who you would consider fastidious or take care of themselves in that way. But I mean, that's every podcast and every person. So it is. How do you narrow that down to be like, as you said, go ahead.
Who is going to buy something that's extra special for a hygiene product? Because people aren't just selling, hey, I want to put some Old Spice on there. like they might, but they would be probably bigger podcasts. And those aren't typically the people that are coming to us. It's more like brands that want to get integrated. So like they're special and they probably cost a little bit more. And you probably like, hey, this is a really nice, I don't know, toothbrush or not razor blade, but like an electric shaver or something like that. It does something that people don't usually expect. So how are you supposed to sell that to people or a specific person through podcasting?
Yeah, like that's an interesting one on The Read, which is a really obviously popular podcast in general, where they have the Bevel, which is a razor that's specifically designed for Black people. And so it makes sense on their podcast because it's a really Black-centric podcast to then have a Black-centric razor. But unless you're doing something like that, that's like kind of an easy slam dunk. Hey, this goes with this. Like what else do you do? As you said, like a fancy toothbrush. There's no podcasts that are like specifically about teeth, or at least not ones that I'm listening to. So
like, 'cause everyone uses a toothbrush, but who's doing that extra mile?
like how do you put together that group that's like really into teeth?
It seems like you hear a lot of startup companies, like on podcasts I listen to where you hear like Harry's Razor, like they were just a small startup and then obviously they've grown, and it seems like there's no razor related podcast about shaving, but you know that a lot of dudes listen to podcasts, and you know, why not?
Wow. It probably is a podcast like about Harry's shaving, razor. But it's a different kind of shaving.
Right. But you get what I'm saying though. It's like, you know that a lot of people shave, dudes obviously especially, and so it's like it would make sense to have a company like Harry's advertise, you know, on a lot of different shows and stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they would probably stick to like just, hey, who has a big male audience?
Yeah.
Let's go with those shows.
Adam Carolla. Yeah. So they just stick to Adam Carolla primarily.
Oh no. But what I don't understand is like Marc Maron, one of his big sponsors is Stamps.com, and it's like, who really uses snail mail anymore? Like, I don't know. Like, that always seems so weird to me that was like one of his big sponsors was a Stamps.com, like where you buy a bunch of stamps and get a free, you know, paperweight and all that.
I would assume. Here's the thing: is I think that in some ways that's like marketing to the kind of people who do an at-home job. Or at least are trying to put something together.
Is that what it is? Is that what you think it is? Because that makes more sense.
I would assume that it's more like if you're doing a business. And so, I mean, you think of Marc Maron, right? And obviously everybody listens to his show now. But in my head, I would think Marc Maron early on is getting listened to by other attempting comedians or other attempting to be podcasters, or you know what I mean? And then those are the kind of people who part of their job is like mailing CDs that they made that they're selling to people who ordered them off of their own website. So a stamps thing works for them in some ways, you know, like, and it's just weird little like cobbled together jobs that don't really exist that of people who are trying to like follow the dream. So that usually involves like shipping things to people. So I could totally see that, you know.
How would you explain Cherry's Berries on the Bill Burr podcast? Because that doesn't make any sense to me.
guys who are insensitive about Mother's Day and forgot to buy their mom a gift.
Cherry's Berries. Are you listening to the clip where he cracks up at reading that advertisement because it's just so ridiculous?
I have not.
It's great. You should look it up sometime. It's really funny.
I probably should. Sam, we are going to take a quick break. And then we're going to come back, and I want to get into the dirt on your podcast history, because I know that there was some changes, some shifting, some name changes and all that, and I want to kind of follow the history and the timeline of that. So we'll take a quick break and come right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage wall pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, we're back. Sam, so I wanted to talk about just the history of We Don't Know Wrestling, your podcast you do over on Wrestling with Words. Started out initially as the Wazim Cast. I guess I kind of understand why it was called that, but can you elaborate on why it was called that?
So I was doing the podcast with Tanner from Twitter.com, and I was like, oh, we need a name for this thing. What is it going to be? So we both wrote down a bunch of names. They were all terrible. But for some reason, jokingly, I wrote Wazim Cast because Wazim had done something real crazy. And if you don't know who Wazim is, he's a real crazy and wild guy who used to roam on Twitter. And he had a lot of followers, which I'm assuming he bought most of them, if not all of them. And he would make some weird edit pictures. Like, he would just take pictures that people took and then throw a filter on it that didn't make it any better and made it worse almost every single time. But he would threaten people. He was just wild about the wrestling. So we're like, I guess we're going to do that. And then one episode in, we're like, we got to change this name. But then we just didn't do it. And we're like, okay, I guess this is how it's going to stay for now.
That makes sense for not only your personality, but for the theme of the show in general. Do you know the whereabouts of Wazim now? Because I don't see him posting anything on Twitter ever anymore.
I hope he's alive. I don't know where he is. I'm hoping he's alive.
So he just doesn't. He just kind of disappeared from wrestling Twitter world, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, but I had done a podcast before this one, before Wazim Cast, and I was like, okay, I want to get back into this. How do I get back into this? So I put out feelers, and then I think Tanner was I'm going to misremember the story now. Is either one of us asking about a podcast, and then one of us responded and said, yeah, okay. And we took it seriously, and then we did it.
One of you mockingly said, yeah, okay, and then the other person just went with it like it was real? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. That's smart. How it happened.
Smart. Okay. What was the podcast you did before Wazimcast?
It was called The Indie Project.
Okay.
Which was a show about independent wrestling.
Well, I thought it was going to be about Indianapolis.
Yes. It was spelled the correct way. INDIE.
Okay.
And we did it with, I did it with Lane Smith. It was also on Twitter.com. But yeah, that was fun. And I was like, I really liked doing that, but he had figured out that he needed money to live, so he got a job, and that ended that effectively.
That's interesting. I mean, I think everybody who does podcasts for the most part has jobs, unless their job is the podcast.
But, well, when he started it, he was in high school, so didn't need a job at that point, I guess.
He started focusing on his career.
Yes,
at the ripe old age of 24.
So they've always been kind of wrestling centric, I guess, your podcasts.
Always, yes. Wrestling's always been my thing. So I've always stuck to that. And that was the one group of people I could, like, I knew how to contact and how to talk to.
Right.
So, like, there's other communities out there that, other hobbies I have that I enjoy, but I don't find there's any way to really communicate them in an effective manner that I would appreciate more than wrestling.
I mean, what hobbies do you have that you don't think you could do that with?
Like, I love playing video games. I love horror movies, but I feel like it's more difficult to find communities like I have with wrestling.
Okay.
Whether it be forums, whether it be Twitter, I just haven't talked to the right people, or it's just a little harder to crack for me. I don't know.
There's a lot of video game communities on the internet, especially, but I can see why you'd feel that way, but there's
I don't know how you start talking to those people, I guess. Not like, oh, well, I want to ask this girl to prom, but how do I do it? But more like, how do you integrate yourself into a this community and like start up conversations?
You always open with a joke. That's my number one rule. Always open with a joke, and then you go from there. So,
but like professional wrestling was always easier because I used to always be on Wrestling Forum, which I know people are like, ew, but I was always on the other wrestling section, and I loved posting in the Match of the Year section. I loved posting in the Indie section, the Puro section, the Lucha section. I felt like I knew other people in that community the more I posted, the more I posted my match reviews or whatever.
Is there any wrestling forum that any wrestling fan worth their salt knows about? Like, is there like a classic wrestling forum that's been around forever that everyone knows about? Is there a place like that on the internet?
That might be more of a Tim question than a me question.
I mean, there is classic wrestling forum, but
I really don't think there is one. Like,
With Star Wars, like the Force.net is like a huge like Star Wars fan forum that's been going on for years. So I'm wondering if there's like a place like that, but for wrestling, obviously.
Yes and no. A lot of the, I mean, you could say that DVD VR was kind of it for a while, but even that was not that old. So they kind of like disappeared. The problem with the wrestling forum is they seem to like go away. Like the old stuff that was that was like on the like early internet, obviously all disappeared because just that part of the internet isn't used anymore.
That's what I was thinking. Like something from the early part of the internet that's just been around for like over a decade now. But you're saying
no, people just they migrate. People leave forums because wrestling. Well, Sam says it's really easy to integrate yourself into the thing. Like there is also the issue that like they kind of go shitty when they just get overtaken by certain kinds of people, and then everybody just leaves starts to suck. I mean, the biggest one, depending on what you're, if you're just looking for like mainstreamy wrestling now, is like Reddit. The Squared Circle Reddit is like really has a lot of activity for just like mainstream wrestling and a little bit of indie stuff here. There is also the fact that there's like paid boards, like the
paid boards.
Yeah, like the Observer, you have to pay to get the Observer, and then you can go on their message board. And
then post disgusting stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and then you can post like a bunch of really nasty, gross things all the time. And
what do you mean nasty, gross things? Like 4chan level stuff, or what do you mean?
Every hentai all day.
Oh, jeez.
You can do, there's a section for that. There's also just being gross people, like people who talk like over-sexually about wrestlers and like put down the female wrestlers for not looking certain ways and then constantly gossiping about wrestlers' personal lives. Like there's a lot of trash on there in general.
So you just mean just people who just shit talk and just say just awful things about, you know, whoever. Okay. I got you.
Then there's also the Torch board that you have to pay for, but also I guess has little to no activity. I've literally never signed onto it in my life. So it's kind of tough. Then there's the Wrestling with Words board that doesn't exist. It's been off and on since the website has existed. It does have a section that's just for the We Don't Know Wrestling 100, which is due soon, correct? When are the voting due for We Don't Know Wrestling 100?
I have internet this weekend, so I'm going to try to do a lot of different things. So one of those things is making sure that the ballot system is ready to go. But Stephen Graham helped me out, and we pretty much are stealing the Greatest Wrestler Ever template. And voting will start February 1st, unless anything goes awry.
Okay, and the ballots are due some point after February 1st.
So February 28th. So the whole month of February, you can vote.
Oh, perfect.
That's a nice example for me.
And that is, if you're not familiar with that, that is voting for the top 100 wrestlers of 2016 in ring only. You're not allowed to think about anything that they did outside of the ring. Correct?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And people will always poke holes in that and say, well, that was important for their in ring. And I'm like, sure, but like if it affects the in ring, that's essentially what I'm saying. Like if it affects your, if you're, hey, this guy beat him down after the match, technically, but it's still part of that segment. Sure, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a weird thing to parse, honestly, because it's not like there's a lot of guys who are making their in-ring cases based on post-match brawling and stuff. So
yeah,
it's just people trying to be pedantic dicks. But speaking of that, that is wrestling boards, as we were talking about in general, is a lot of guys acting that way. But something that's always been refreshing, I think, to your podcasts is kind of the tone that they take, starting with the Wazim cast, I guess, for me, because I never heard the indie project. I don't know what the kind of culture was of that podcast. But was there a conscious effort to have the podcasts kind of be the way they are, with a lot of, I guess, irreverent conversation? Or do you think that's just your personality and that's why it comes through that way?
My personality, I suppose. I don't think we ever had a goal of how the podcast would go or whatever tone we wanted to use. It was more, this is us talking. This is us taking the podcast in the directions we want it to go. And I've always thought a lot of it revolved around the guests. Whatever way they want to really take it is the way we kind of direct things in the end. Since I like to just consider the podcast a forum to me to talk with my wrestling friends or people that are wrestling fans, whether they be my friends. I don't know. I'd like to believe so, but they can keep that secret.
Sometimes they're friends.
Sometimes they're friends. But yeah, that is, I think it's fun. It gives me something to do during the week. I know I'm going to have an hour or 2 hours or half an hour, whatever, to be able to talk about professional wrestling with someone else that, usually two other someone else's, that enjoy the professional wrestling, which I think is always good.
Okay, and so you think there wasn't, not a conscious effort, because
never.
As I've told you in private, I think that your show really does a service for the kind of the wrestling Twitter world, in that, like, you do a really good job of getting people to open up and really talk off the cuff in a way that they might not necessarily talk all the time, which I really enjoy, honestly, and I'd love to hear more people in the kind of wrestling sphere get a chance to get on there and hear their voices and what they're like outside of just the, you know, 140 characters that you see them posting on Twitter here and there. Have you thought about expanding, maybe? Are you constantly trying to get new guests? Because it does seem like you are not afraid to have repeat guests pretty regularly. Is that something you do intentionally, or do you want to try to freshen up the kind of talent pool?
It sort of revolves around who do I talk to. So it kind of eventually stagnates just because of that. I would be more than happy to open up, and I prefer to open up. But sometimes when people fall through on a Tuesday and I'm recording on a Wednesday, there are people I know that will be able to help me out. And usually a new guest is harder to do that with. I don't know how that show is going to go. Sometimes that show goes really bad, and it kind of becomes disheartening for me. So I don't take it personally, but just like, well, that didn't feel good. I wasn't as satisfied with that as I wanted to be. So I like to mix it up, but at the same time, I got to find people that I feel like I can talk to. And right now, I just got to see who in this bubble or near this bubble I can get on.
Yeah, see, that's an interesting thing. And I mean, I was supposed to talk about, like, the show name thing, which is kind of dumb. I mean, eventually it switched from Wazim Cast to We Don't Know Wrestling.
So we were on Four Corners Radio, which was a site that I started on, like, based on the inception. And we were kind of some of the first people that were taking part in the Voices of Wrestling poll, Match the Year poll. So then eventually I'm like, I don't know if I want to be here anymore. I'm not sure if we align correctly. So we were like, okay, let's take it somewhere else. We tried to do it solo for a little bit, and then Trask talked to Tanner, and they're like, oh, we're starting up this website. This podcast's good. Let's have it on. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Something along those lines. I wasn't really involved in conversation. No one talks to me. So Tanner pretty much set that up, and I was like, okay, cool. We have a place to put our podcast, and this seems like a cool website with a lot of varied opinions, covering a lot of stuff. I think we will fit in better here.
Okay, and then from there, you're just like, we're going to change the name of this podcast because we've been wanting to change it the entire time.
Yeah, once we left 4CR, we changed it to We Don't Know Wrestling, because we just felt like, okay, if we're going to change it, we got to do it now. Otherwise, it's Wazim Cast Forever, which would have been a title for a podcast, which would have been probably a better title for a podcast, really.
Right, which is probably, I mean, probably good, honestly. The Wazim Cast was kind of a... Albatross, is that the right way to use that name?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I really want to talk about now, as you brought it up there, is kind of that part of not really being sensitive, but being kind of emotionally drained by stuff like that on the podcast. Because I think for someone just listening to the show, maybe even early on, honestly, and not, you know, not someone who's really well versed in it and really knows your personality, there's times, and I hope you don't take this as a personal shot, but there's times where I think,
just so you're aware, I will. I know.
That's part of the thing too. There's times listening to your show when I first started to, where, not to say 100%, but kind of would feel like, I don't think he cares if this show is shitty, like, and almost encourages it being bad. Or not even being bad, but just being controversial and like going off the rails and being ridiculous. And to hear you say that, like, it does kind of emotionally affect you to feel like you had an awkward conversation with someone is really interesting. Like, do you find
you said two different things there, though. You said one, off the rails, controversial, weird, nonsensical. What I'm talking about is conversations where I just can't find a flow of conversation with a human being, where it's like that awkward first date where you're stepping on each other's words, or you can't really get anything good out of this person. Like, as far as reaction, they're not really saying anything that's helping you feed off of them. Those kind of conversations.
Right, which are completely different, but I think that people can accidentally conflate the two things to be like, oh, why he seems like he doesn't give a shit about the show being any good, you know, which is just not the case. And you do put a lot of yourself into the show. Like, I mean, again, from private conversations that we've had, I have realized over time just like how passionate you really are about the podcast project and how much you think about it. But is that you? I mean, is Sam the person outside of even We Don't Know Wrestling, a really introspective, even some might say tightly wound guy? Or is it just because you feel like you put so much into the podcast?
I'm probably a tightly wound guy. I don't know. That seems probably about right.
Do you find yourself like worrying about things somewhat incessantly in general?
I'm a worrier. I don't think there's anything terribly wrong with that.
I'm the same way. I'm a worrier too, so I totally get it. I find myself thinking about every little thing that could go wrong. You know, I mean, I'm scared to take, you know, long trips. I mean, we're just next month, I'm going on a vacation with my wife to go to San Francisco. I live in Los Angeles. We're driving to San Francisco. Yeah, I'm scared.
It's an 8-hour drive.
Shitting myself that something bad is going to happen.
In an 8-hour drive, Tim? Really?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And so, like,
why not just break it up in parts and just drive 4 hours, stay in a hotel, then drive the next 4 hours till you get there?
That's just going to elongate the trip and make it more likely that something bad could
happen. It's so weird hearing this coming from you, because I used to drive from Phoenix to Palm Springs, which is a 4-hour drive each way, and I never worried. Never once did I worry.
Well, you're a different person than me. But, like, Samuel,
I'm just looking for a reason to give you shit. Sorry.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
I probably worry more about things that don't matter than what do matter.
Okay.
Like stuff like trips and whatnot. I don't worry too much. Like, I just have a gut feeling that these things will work out in the end. As long as I set it up decently enough, the cards won't fall down. So, but stuff like, hey, these are my hobbies, I have a hard time just like experiencing them. Like, just, hey, I'll watch wrestling. I don't think I could just watch wrestling. I need to do something with that. Or I don't think I can just play video games. I need to do something with that. But when I do that, I want it to be... I don't want to be the only person getting some enjoyment out of it.
Right. Okay, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to take one more quick break. And we're going to come back. We're going to finish up kind of with you on the couch here. I want to kind of break down the psychology of Sam for a little bit, and then we'll ask the final question, and then we'll be done. All right? Sound good?
Let's do it.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more. including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
All right. All right, so we're back. And Sam, yeah, I want to... Okay, so you mentioned, you know, that hobbies are what you worry about and the little stuff, but do you find... Again, I think it's like more of an emotional, psychological thing. Is that the stuff that you worry about, or do you worry about, like you said, like wasting your time? Do you think that that's something you worry about more?
Yes, I think time waste. I feel like if I didn't get something out of the experience, why am I doing the experience? Why I don't want something to just wash over me. I want to be able to feel like, hey, put some thought into this. Why did I enjoy it? Why didn't I enjoy it? Try to better understand even myself, like, what do I like, what appeals to me, which, well, I think is a weird thing to do probably, but
I mean a little bit, but it's what's weird, honestly, you know. But where do you think that comes from? Have you seen, do you see people, have you, like, were there people that wasted time around you that you looked down on? Was there a big chunk of your life that you feel like just went by wasted? Like, why is that such a concern to you?
I have no idea. No one in my life has ever been that way. Like, honestly, they don't, like, feel compulsed to do it, but I don't blame them or anything like that because it's not, like, a necessary thing. It just feels like if I'm going to do something, I want to be able to come out of it with something. I don't know why that would be, and I don't know why... I don't think I've ever, like, seen anyone that in my personal life that wants to do that as much.
Okay. I mean, well, yeah. I guess my question would be like the opposite. And in my mind, I go to like probably the worst possible thing, which is like people dying young. But, you know, it could also be that you just look at, I don't know if you have siblings or just parents or what, but if you saw them kind of, you just feel like you look down on the fact that they didn't really accomplish a lot and that they could have used their time more wisely. Like, is that something that you were exposed to?
No, I wasn't. I don't have any of that going on. I think my family's doing great with their time. My brother's got a kid on the way. He's accomplished a lot in that time on a personal level to see him grow. He's older than me, but seeing him grow from where he was as a teenager to where he is now has been terrific. There's no, like, period where I think he wasted time. I think every time was integral to his growth.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Huh. I
don't have a reason for why I feel like doing this, I think, is where I'm at.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's interesting because it's just, I'm similar. I can definitely relate to you in a lot of this, Sam. Like, I'm very similar in that I always want to look for the most productive way of doing things. Because I don't want there to be waste. I'm also really big into conserving, like, you know, conserving when it comes to energy and when it comes to resources as well. I think about what's like the most wasteful.
You work I'm smart, not hard, right, Tim?
I try to, you know what I mean? That's my point. But do you find yourself the same way when it comes to work and stuff like that? Or is it primarily, as you said, with your free time and your hobbies?
It's probably more about my free time. But it can show up every once in a while when in work, when there's probably a more time-intensive task at hand, which involves a lot more, hey, I want to do this to the fullest of my ability, as I do every time, but I want to be able to make sure I'm not wasting any time here. I'm doing everything I can to get everything in line as quickly as humanly possible. Stuff like that, but nothing... Like, work's, I think, different just because what I'm doing is inherently productive, or at least should be, whereas hobbies are not inherently productive. There's not. I don't know. I don't like boring conversations as well. I think that might be part of it. I don't know. like, talking about these random comedy movies that people watch trailers of and laugh their butts off at, more power to you, but I'm just like, is that any good? Is that good? That doesn't feel good. I don't know if it's just a difference in taste or a different in personalities or stuff like that.
Well, it's also interesting because people look at hobbies and free time, and even some people look at conversations as a way to unwind and kind of unpack. And even, you know, my wife, which is, this is something I don't relate to, but she will say like, oh, I want to watch something on TV that's mindless just to shut my brain off. And I'm, to me, that doesn't make any sense, but to a lot of people it does. And it is kind of interesting to think that you take it almost to a further step where you want to look at stuff that you're filling your free time with being productive instead of being in any way like relaxing. Do you do anything 100% just to unwind and relax, or is it, are you always looking at how productive you can be in everything you're doing?
Well, I get some sort of relaxation out of being productive, just because I think it would be more stressful for me if I was just sitting there and not doing anything, and just, I'm going to turn this on and just stare at it for a while, and that will make the clock move. I don't want that to be my goal at any point in time.
Okay.
Well, Tim, really quick, why do you not understand the people just want to watch just silly things to let their brain just kind of unwind? Like, why is that weird for you?
I just don't relate to it, was my point. It's not for me. But I mean, I
don't
know.
So are you more like Sam, where you like to keep yourself more productive? Like,
yeah, I do. And I don't, that was kind of going to be my next question, because I don't do a big unwind process. And I also have no problem kind of just falling asleep at night. So I was going to ask Sam, how do you sleep at night? No, do you do the same thing where it's really easy for you to just kind of go from being wide awake to asleep?
I need like a wind down time, which is usually just, that's when social media becomes a problem. Okay. So it's just like, hey, I'm going to get on Twitter in my bed for the next few moments, and we're going to just watch this feed scroll, look at the hot takes come in, get a gauge of what's going on, what's Regal doing now, is Frey shooting on anyone, and then fall asleep.
Okay, and so you kind of just check out Twitter as you unwind to fall asleep. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, that's what does it for me right there.
That's really interesting.
You know what does it for me is reading a book. You guys ever had that where you like go to bed and you're like, I'm gonna read for a bit, and then you just like get really sleepy as you're reading?
I've never done that. No.
You should try it sometime.
I do that, but I never make that transition. I just get tired, but then I can't sleep after I've done that. I don't know what's going on there, but like, I'm closing my eyes while I'm trying to read.
I need a lot of energy to read a book, because you got to process all this stuff. You got to read it. You got to visualize it. You got to understand what the author is saying. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big mental workout for me. I don't know what that says about me, but.
Yeah, but I think that some people, the stimulating their brain keeps them awake, right? I mean,
it just wears me out, man. I don't know. I don't know why.
It's just too much. Who invented this reading? It's too much.
Seriously.
Humans are not meant to be reading.
Not at all, sir.
Oh. Get out there and just pop. See, it's so interesting. Sam, honestly, you're an interesting guy to me because, as you said, the conversations, you kind of feel hurt in some way about like a podcast conversation that doesn't go well. But then,
it feels like an hour wasted.
Right. And you feel like it sucks wasting time and you want to be productive as much as this and that. But then, like, to me, you also kind of love the hot take culture. And I feel like there's almost nothing more worthless than the hot take culture that we have. But you, like, revel in it in a weird way where I don't understand if you think of it as a productive thing. Like, what do you get out of hot takedom?
That's where my mindless entertainment comes from.
Okay.
That's the only time. And I don't know why that triggers me.
Triggered. Triggered.
Okay. That should be, honestly, and keep that echo on because we are closing out here, but that should honestly have been the name of your podcast, is Triggered, because you are the master of getting triggered. But what we're going to do here now is we're going to close out with Adrian. You know what we always close out with?
The final question.
Yes, the final question. So, Sam, someone who, unlike me, has not had these private conversations and only knows you from, you know, the Wazeem cast and from We Don't Know Wrestling and doesn't really, or maybe Twitter a little bit here and there, but doesn't really interact with you on a personal level, what would be something about you in your personal life that they would find shocking?
That's a tough question, Tim. You got to... You didn't give me like an hour prep on this one.
It could literally usually, be anything. I try to remember to do that, but I forgot with you. I'm sorry, Sam.
It could be you have a sixth toe or something. Like, it could literally be
even
anything.
The football thing early on was a shocker for me. Is there anything, I don't know, similar? Anything?
Tim, I got to give me like 6 hours here to figure this one out just so I can dig internally now.
6 hours? I mean... Tim does 8 hours of podcasting for one show, so
yes,
I think
that's true.
That's like nothing for him.
I don't know why you would do that.
Just jump. I'm sorry. Here, how about you want to just email it to us? You want to record yourself in private and then email it to us? We'll tack it on till the end of the show. No, yeah, anything at all. And if you can't think of anything, it's not a big deal.
I'm a very hairy man. Is
that's
that
shocking?
I'm a bald man, but
this
very
show brought
hairy.
To you by Harry's Razors. No, I'm just kidding.
I just feel like my dimensions are also like not what people expect unless they have
a picture of you
directly asked. Yeah. As okay. I am a short human being,
short and hairy. You
that's
know, it
you
is
don't sound it. Short and hairy. You sound like the opposite.
And you have a lot. You are big. You have a big personality, and I think that some people might not see it that way, but I do. And you kind of, not overbearing, but definitely you can fill up a conversation. And it comes across as, unfortunately, because our society is weird, they look at being shorter as a bad thing and don't think of someone with as much confidence as you in a conversation and who can do that as being someone who's short.
Tim? Do people really still think that like being shorter is... Like,
yes,
I don't know. I was kind of thinking and hoping that maybe as a society we've grown out of that, but I guess not.
People think you're younger if you're shorter. Like people will think that someone's older just because they're tall. Like people are dumb and they equate height with too many unimportant, stupid things. So yeah, everybody, Sam is short and hairy, which you would not expect. I mean, it is kind of shocking. You're right.
Almost curious now to see what Sam looks like. What's your Twitter handle, Sam?
At Concrete 1992.
Oh, same perfect. Handle. Perfect. I'm going to look that up with you guys.
Perfect way to plug the Twitter before we go. Also, We Don't Know Wrestling. What else do you want to plug there, Sam?
I currently really don't have anything else. You can go to wrestlingwithwords.com/WDKW100 and go to that forum that we had talked about earlier. If you want to participate in that, we got rules and such. Just to give you some more background.
Are you wearing a beanie in your Avi?
I am.
You also are downplaying the decade in the indies, the great article series you've been doing, reviewing this decade's indie wrestling. It's been a lot of fun reading.
I should have plugged that. I don't know why I forgot about it. Thank you, Tim, for helping
you're lucky,
me out.
You're lucky you're on here not just with an interviewer, but also a fan of your work.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sam. Sorry for springing that question on you. And you know what? Even as someone who does kind of talk with you in private here and there, I learned some stuff about you that I really was interesting to find out. And maybe we're not, you know, too dissimilar. And maybe a lot of other people can kind of get to know Sam a little bit better here. Adrian, is there anything you wanted to plug before we close out tonight?
Yes, follow me at Twitter on Della Boots. Follow our Twitter at Lucha Undead, obviously. And follow my other podcast called Story Germ, at Story Germ. And that's pretty much it. So, good.
Okay, cool. Same thing. Just follow me on Twitter at Lucha Undead. And I'm sorry that I fucked up the interview with Kerry Offal, everybody. That was a bummer. But otherwise, I want to thank Sam so much for being on here. Fantastic guest. So he's not just a great host, he's also a great guest. Other podcasts have him on to talk about stuff, mostly wrestling, but video games too, right? And otherwise, life is all about the most important things, which are the 3 B's: good beers, good buds, and good banter. Good night.